everyone, and welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Bessa Shio. And again, I'm Whitney Shio's husband.
And this is the place where we believe that every single marriage out there has a chance to not only make it, but be awesome and long-lasting.
Yes, every marriage has a chance to be awesome and also to be fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you guys can always find us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shio.
And I'm at Pesa Shio.
You can like us on Facebook. It's just Facebook/Live Your Best Marriage. And of course, you can always read articles on the blog, which is liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog.
Awesome.
All right. So today, I just wanted to talk about a general issue that affects every single marriage.
What are we having for dinner?
No, actually, it would be decision making. So actually, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because when you get married, you make this huge decision to be together. And all of the smaller decisions that you guys make in everyday life just reaffirm that huge one that you made to be together in the first place.
Yes.
So, no, the whole dinner thing is like...
it's a decision that we have to make, right?
Like, totally irrelevant. It's not
even funny. And how you go by making that decision tells you a lot about that couple. Some couples are able to make that decision very easily. Some will fight about it. And to some couples, that is seen as such a trivial question. What are we going to have for dinner? Because they already know what they will have. Some couples, that can actually bring a fight that will go on for days.
What to have for dinner?
Yes.
Okay. Well, actually, I was going to bring up that issue, that if you're going to consult your spouse before you make a huge decision, I wasn't referring to, you know, asking, okay, well, which flavor of gum can I buy? Or, you know, tiny things like that. I'm talking about things that really have an impact on your household or just, you know, a lasting impact on your life altogether. So the aim really is to reach a win-win solution. It's really not about getting what I want.
It's not?
Does that make sense? If you can find solutions that can cover both of your concerns, like for both people, I think that's the best way
to go.
Give
me an example.
An example? Well, I mean, I think just... what I believe is the center of marriage is just promoting unity.
Okay.
Always try to make harmony just a big part of your relationship, you know? There's always that sharing and that connection. And so decision-making actually is huge. Huge, huge, huge. Because if you can't share in that, chances are you might not be sharing in other areas. And that's not good.
And when you talk about decisions, are you talking about every decision that somebody makes during the day that you have to share? Or you are talking about like huge decisions like which house are we moving to? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really matter what car I buy, right?
No. It's not about like the tiny little decisions that you make throughout your day. Like as I said earlier, like it's not about, oh, what am I gonna have for breakfast, or is it okay if I listen to this song on the way to work? No, it's
what,
like,
what if that song is annoying and you're in the car with that person?
No, it's like if one person gets an idea to make a really big purchase. Mm-hmm. Or if one of you gets the idea to, maybe you want to change the school that you send your kids to.
Okay.
Things like that. Things that impact everybody. Because, I mean, that's totally okay. If you have a vision that your spouse doesn't quite see yet, you know, if you're thinking like, you know, we really need to take little Johnny out of this school and move him over to a private school or whatever it is. That's just an example. That has a lasting impact on your household, and it changes the circumstances for everybody.
Okay.
So if you can first just bring it up to your spouse and say, okay, you know, I just have this concern. And the sooner that you guys are able to identify unsatisfied concerns, I mean, this just goes for everything in your marriage. The sooner you can figure that out, the better. Because, oh my goodness, I used to have an issue where I couldn't even speak what I was thinking.
You couldn't?
I wasn't sure if, because just like the household that I was raised in, mm-hmm. it was frowned upon to say what's on your mind.
And the household I was brought up, it was actually encouraged to speak up anything you had in mind.
Yeah. So I have always had a tendency to keep quiet.
And I have always had a tendency to speak my mind.
Right, right. So we've definitely had some problems with that over the years. But once I figured out how to say, okay, my concern is blank, then I was able to start proposing like, okay, hey, do you think we can do this? Or what are your thoughts on that? Then it became so much easier for us to reach a compromise if needed. I mean, and a lot of these things, I'm not even saying that just because you want to do something doesn't mean your spouse is going to disagree. But I'm mostly talking about, you know, just those things that both people might not see eye to eye on a specific issue.
So are you proposing that we should be having some ground rules before we even have these conversations, before we make these decisions, or we just should just make up rules as we go?
No, well, I mean, I think if we can always have this general attitude that, you know, we want everyone involved, we want both husband and wife to feel as though they're participating.
Okay.
I think that's a really big deal. Because if one person feels left out or left behind, or that could eventually lead to feeling like, okay, well, my opinion doesn't really count, or my thoughts don't really matter here. And that can just take a huge toll on the relationship altogether.
So ahead of time, before we make the decisions, we should have some sort of a ground rules then.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would call it ground rules, but I would just say, like, just keep an attitude of trying to be inclusive.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and like, just have this, you know, we want to have a collaboration, or we want to always just try the best we can to reach an agreement on things.
Now, what if they don't reach an agreement? What if we don't reach an agreement? How do we take care of that issue?
Well, I mean, and you might not always. That's just kind of part of how it is sometimes. But I think if you're able to go back to that philosophy of, you know, let's look for a win-win. Let's see if we can find a solution that is going to address the concerns of both of us. You know, compromise is always really, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. So compromising and then finding a solution that actually will work for both.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not a bad thing to have differences. Couples can always embrace their differences and use that as a strength. You can always use it to your benefit.
Like
if you just have opposing views on something.
Like the example you brought up about little Johnny leaving school.
Uh-huh, right.
And maybe you want little Johnny to leave school,
mm-hmm.
maybe to go to a private school, mm-hmm. and the spouse, I don't want him to leave school because I think that school is really, really good. Mm-hmm. How can we get to a compromise in an issue like that?
Yeah. I think first you could definitely go over the concerns that both of you have.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going over the pros and cons of mm-hmm. making that change.
So do we need to write a list down?
You could if you want.
Okay.
You definitely could if you want to. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, you could definitely make a list of pros and cons and then just raise your concerns, and you can bring up, you know, your what if scenarios and things like that. And just, I mean, in a situation like that, you would ultimately go with what would be best for the child, I would think.
According to who?
I don't know. Well, you can use, there are ways to figure that out. If you just look at the benefits, you could say, like, you could ask, like, okay, how much is little Johnny going to benefit from this change?
And it feels like I'm beating a dead horse, but what I'm trying to come up with is a way that we can, like, mm-hmm. Some sort of a framework that we can use in real life, mm-hmm. that to make these ideas come alive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just we are talking theory, but a lot of mm-hmm. us and also a lot of other couples are going through these issues every day.
Yeah.
And it might be an issue about which school should the kids go. Should they go to private or public?
Mm-hmm.
And one, for whatever reason, each parent might have so much invested in the idea that they should go to this school or not to go to this school. And they believe that they are right. How mm-hmm. should they handle? Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they still need to make a decision. And according to you, it needs to be a win-win situation.
Yeah.
How should we deal with that?
How can we deal with that?
Yeah.
I think, well, if you want to get into the nitty-gritty of daily life,
yes.
I think there are some issues that even
so
if
that
you
they
just,
can be able to live their best marriage.
Yeah. Even if you just bring up the issue to your spouse before you actually go and, like, make the decision, before you actually do whatever it is you're wanting to do, if you just consult with them first, like, beforehand, I mean, that's a big win right there, because some couples just go and do whatever it is they want to do without even saying anything. And so, which makes me just go back to my main point of, if we can keep unity front and center, then it doesn't take long for us to realize that making a decision without our spouse is actually going to move us towards isolation.
Okay.
That is not something that brings us closer to the person that we signed up to love for the rest of our lives.
Yes.
And so it's that whole idea of sharing and trying and just constantly building a connection. So if things are being kept in secret, like if someone is a spender and mm-hmm. the other one is a notorious saver,
mm-hmm.
then let's just say, for example, the spender decides to go and buy a bunch of stuff. Like, I mean, like, I'm not just talking about, you know, a couple $100s. I'm talking about, like, goes on, like, a massive shopping spree for a couple $1,000s, I guess.
Okay.
Without even telling their partner. To me, that is something, that was a decision that was made and the other person was left out. And it also involves hiding. So that just brings up a whole nother issue. That opens up another can of worms. So I guess that was kind of my idea, that if you don't share in your decision making,
okay,
then you're not moving towards unity.
Okay.
Or oneness, I guess, yeah.
Okay, so literally you gotta share and you gotta try to find a way, a decision that will work for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And this one might take a lot of giving up, just being more creative. And not everybody will get what they were looking for,
mm-hmm.
but they will find both of you, you'll get something that you can be able to live with.
Yeah, I mean, being able to reach a consensus, you know, on most things.
Yeah,
yeah,
something that both of you can live with.
It's possible.
Okay.
It's doable.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and you can always, like, in a respectful way, you can propose what it is that you think should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then your partner would get their chance to make their proposal or their suggestion and say, okay, well, I think maybe we should do this. You know.
And do you think, like, when things get really heated, should they bring a third party, somebody they trust to help mediate, or how should they go about it?
A third party?
Yes.
Yeah, if they want to do that, I think that sounds like a good idea. If the third party is neutral.
Have you ever tried that?
With you?
Yeah.
My
memory fails me.
Yeah, we have gone to counseling before.
Okay, so does counseling count?
So, yeah, counseling counts. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Did it help?
Yeah, it helped.
Okay. Is this something you would advise?
Going to counseling?
Yes.
I would always recommend that for any issue. I would always suggest that.
Okay.
Because I think that it helps to have someone guide you through the process. You can explain. Each person gets a chance to explain their point of view. And then what's always interesting is when the counselor reminds you to say, make sure when you're sharing your viewpoint, you don't insult your partner. And then I always get interrupted. They're like, oh, wait a minute, that sounded like an insult. Let's go back. And I'm like, okay. And then I have to rephrase my whole sentence. I have to like restructure what I was talking about. But anyway.
For some reason, I don't remember that. But
we did. That's probably a good thing. That's probably the best thing.
I guess I have amnesia.
You have a short memory. I think that works to our advantage too.
Yeah, I have amnesia.
But yeah, so I would always, always recommend getting help from someone as long as they're impartial. I think because they could always bring in another viewpoint or things that you guys haven't considered or things that you overlooked.
Okay.
So it's always good to try that. But yeah, I mean, mostly if it does get to that point, it is really nice if both people get a chance to say what they think.
Do you think
without the problem escalating?
How about praying over the issue before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think praying for discernment is a really, really, really big deal. I think just asking the Lord for guidance. That's something I've done before. So.
And do you think it works or?
I think it does. That's faith. Faith is another talk for another day. That's like a totally unrelated. I don't know. Maybe it's unrelated.
Because I think faith is very important because it's literally the foundation of everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you use faith to help you make decisions,
mm-hmm.
we should be able to share it here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this also reminds me of just being able to have a conversation with and use persuasion.
Okay.
Because if you can persuade the other person to see things how you see it.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least explain it in a way that they're at least able to see what you're talking about.
Yes.
Or see how you're feeling.
And that's instead of being stuck with each side being stuck with their way of seeing the world,
mm-hmm.
you're right, you can use persuasion mm-hmm. to help the other person see where you're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can use empathy, you can mm-hmm. say, okay, you know, well, this is actually what I'm going through, this is what I'm dealing with. So, you know, if your partner can actually feel it, or at least see it.
Yes, see you where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yes.
And be aware of it. I mean, that's a big first step. If you can get past that, and I like persuasion because it uses logic.
Okay.
You know, you can say things like, you know, what would be the best outcome for mm-hmm. this?
Yes.
You know, and you can just look at what's going to benefit us the most?
Yeah.
How can we accomplish this in a way that works for everybody? And persuasion is totally different than manipulation.
Okay. So it's not the same thing?
No, it's not the same thing.
So what's the difference?
Because although with persuasion, you want, your goal is for the other person to believe what you believe or at least see what you're seeing, you know.
Yeah.
Manipulation, on the other hand, is it's like sort of takes advantage of the other person in a way.
I think. Like you don't have their best you're not looking out for them.
Yeah, you're not looking out for the other person.
You're not looking out for yourself.
Yeah, like, because if someone is manipulative, then they're like, they'll come up with ways to make the other person feel sorry for them. It's or feel bad for them or even feel guilty.
But they're doing all these things just so that they can be able to get their way.
Yeah, they want to get their own way. Yeah. They want to get what they want.
Yes.
And so it's manipulation becomes like this clever way of deceiving someone, I think.
Yeah.
But persuasion, I think is just a totally, totally different thing. And if we can learn to be good, you know, at persuasion, I think that at least is a good communication tool.
Yeah, it is a good communication tool. And one thing that I use and I learned from somebody mm-hmm. online, but mm-hmm. It's being agreeable.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, I learned literally that if you want not only to have your way, but also to work well with people,
mm-hmm.
is somebody is willing to give up or give in
mm-hmm.
if you on the first you are agreeable with them.
Right.
So because if you're not agreeable,
mm-hmm.
you'll just make them raise their guards up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now mm-hmm. now it becomes an issue of I need to get my way.
Or like be more defensive.
Be more defensive. Mm-hmm. So like for example, if you ask me something, you're more likely to let me have my way if I'm like, yes, I see where you're coming from. Like, mm-hmm. I'm more agreeable with your point
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
compared to if I'm like, yeah, no, you have to have it my way. I don't know.
Yeah, no. And actually, you just reminded me of, okay, there's like a favorite story of mine that you used to tell me. For those that don't know, Peso was actually a nurse for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one story that I love is, and I think it happened more than once, was if a patient was not at their best and maybe a little confused and sort of fighting against or rebelling against the team of nurses, Peso would enter the room and just walk up to him and, you know, shake his hand and say, "Hey, sir, how's it going?"
Yeah.
You know, I love that story because you just would always tell me, you know, when I do that, the person is able to just calm down.
Yes.
They let their guard down. They don't feel like they have to fight anymore to be heard.
Yes.
Because that's all they wanted. Yes. They just wanted someone to listen to them. You know, and instead of having, you know, the whole staff, you know, like, oh my gosh, he's nuts. He's, you know, we need to get this taken care of.
Trying to tell the patient what to do. Yeah, I remember. Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, what I do is walk in
mm-hmm.
and, as you say, just go and start talking to the patient mm-hmm. at the patient's level
mm-hmm.
as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you flip everything because the patient was expecting you'll be one more person who's there to yell at them or quote-unquote telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden they have a friend who's talking to them as their buddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you find that you can get way more achieved. Maybe they can take their medicines. Maybe they can mm-hmm. get back to bed. Mm-hmm. And they can do like maybe they were very unsafe. They can get back to bed and things like that.
Right.
It's actually much easier if they perceive that you are their friend.
Yes.
And you are with them in the struggle.
Right. And you can actually see, oh, well, you know, that must be hard for him. So yes. I'm going to help him out with this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that worked all the time. And it's not so much to be manipulative. It's like you literally see where this guy is coming from. Like if I was in the same room, in the same bed, I would want some guy or some lady to come and just be like, see where I'm coming from. Like,
right. So if you apply that in the context of marriage, you sort of put yourself in this position of, you know what, how can I make this work for her?
Yes.
Or how can I make this work for him? Yes. You know what? I really want this to turn out in a way that would make her happy or make him happy, you know,
and
in a very loving way.
And sometimes when you put the other person's needs in front of you, you are mm-hmm. putting yourself down and you're putting the other person's needs in front of you. They are more likely, it works this way. They are more mm-hmm. likely to actually mm-hmm. give in,
even bend a little bit
and actually work with you compared to if you are you stick to your guns and you don't want to let anything go. So if you are the first one to quote unquote give in, you are more likely actually to get things done and actually move the process forward,
right,
compared to if you are quote unquote stuck to your guns and you want them to see how you are right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I mean, just to sort of emphasize the points we've been making and to recap on this whole issue, is the reason why it is so important to share when it's time to make a decision and try to come up with an agreement is because if one of you is more bold than the other and you have a tendency to say, okay, well, I'm going to start this or I'm going to do this now, that, and the if the other person felt like they didn't really have input in that, it can lead to bitterness and resentment. And so that is a huge, huge problem that we want to avoid.
Yeah, bitterness.
Because once you go down that path, it's really difficult to get off of it.
And also, with the bitterness, it might also bring the feeling that I have nothing to do with this. So they might even be working against you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not working together for the common good of the family. They might even be sabotaging the project because they don't have that buy-in. They don't feel like they're part of it.
Right. I mean, yeah, it could go that way. Maybe you'll miss out on some teamwork, or or your partner could just feel like, you know what? I am not in control. I don't have respect here. I'm not viewed as an equal.
Yes.
Why can't I ever have a say in some of these things that we do in our household and in our immediate family?
Yes.
And whatnot. Yeah. And so, yeah, if one person ends up feeling like, you know, my input doesn't matter or my opinion doesn't count, that's, again, as we said, resentment is not a fun place to be. We've been there, and if you can avoid it, don't go there.
Don't go there. And again, as Dr. Gottman said, mm-hmm. contempt is one of the main indicators of having a divorce.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we don't want the resentment to build up and also now to breed contempt.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. I wouldn't want anyone who to feel like that much bitterness towards someone that they're actually supposed to be head over heels with.
Once, for example, if it happens, now that somebody is contempt, contempt, they're having contempt with their spouse, what should they do?
It's even just identifying it and knowing that it's there is winning half the battle, I think. But there's always forgiveness. There's always a chance to turn things around.
Okay.
And head the other way. There's always that chance. It's never too late.
Okay.
It's never, never, never too late.
So just because Gottman says, oh, if you have contempt, you're more likely to have a divorce, does not mean that he knows what's really going on in your life, in your couple, like in your relationship. And as a couple, you can actually turn this thing around.
Well, yeah, I mean, just because someone can predict that, you know, things might go south for you guys, that does not mean that you don't have the potential to fix it.
Yeah.
You guys totally can make a change for the better.
Yes.
Anytime you wish to.
It might not be easy, but it's possible.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And the good thing is it has been done. It's being done every day.
That's right.
And
that's right.
The media says most marriages will end in divorce, but they don't know your marriage. And only you can make your marriage like be great or crazy. And we believe that every marriage has a potential to be awesome and fulfilling, but you have to do the work.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So just to recap, guys, if you can keep unity and oneness front and center, I think you'll do great.
And every time you're making decisions with your spouse, have that feeling of openness, sharing. And remember that when you're more agreeable with your spouse, you're more likely to get things done and not only have your way, but actually have a buy-in from your spouse.
Right, right. Yes. So thank you again, everybody, for listening. As always, you can like us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shayo.
And I'm at Pesa Shayo.
And also, we're going to have some really cool new videos coming up that we'll be posting to the blog. So head on over there when you get a chance. It's liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog.
So folks, until next time, God bless and take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye.